Did you miss us? Hope you did. After many months of absence, we're back with a new voice to boot. The Talk Central podcast is making its return after a lengthy hiatus. And we've got a new voice on the podcast and indeed a new person on the Tech Central team, Rechard van der Berg. Welcome, Rechard.
Thanks, Duncan. It's great to be here and be part of the Tech Central team.
Fantastic. Well, welcome, Rechard. And tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you started your career in journalism. You've also had a stint in the corporate world, which you managed to escape alive from. Tell us a bit. Tell us a bit about your background.
Yeah, I started my career as a journalist for SA Computer Magazine, one of the best years of my life.
That was a great magazine back in the day.
It was. It was one of the earliest computer magazines. I think it started in the early 90s. By the time I was editor, it was about, we had an 18-year run, I think it was. It was quite impressive.
Who was behind it? I remember reading it back in the day. It was a Cape, was it a Joburg-based publication?
It was Cape Town-based. It changed hands a couple of times, unfortunately. The final change before it closed down was they got sold to NAG magazine up in Joburg.
Oh, NAG, yes.
And that's how I found my way up to Johannesburg.
Okay, cool. And so you spent some time at SACM. Just tell us a bit about some of your other journalistic endeavors.
Sure. When SA Computer Magazine unfortunately closed down in 2007, I moved over to Pix Magazine. Sorry, in 2009, I moved over to Pix Magazine, photography magazine. That was one of my other passions in life. And after a short stint there, HTC approached me to head up their PR and communications. And that's when I decided to venture into the corporate world. It was a good gig for a while.
Right.
Unfortunately, they also pulled out of the country a year later. We all know where that went.
let's not go there. We get so many calls here at Tech Central about HTC and people looking for help and no presence in South Africa at all at the moment.
Yeah, it's quite sad. After HTC, I moved over to a short stint of running my own little business. Social Food was a bit of a development agency, a bit of PR. It was great for a while, and then I moved over to IS. I thought, you know, that was a great opportunity when it came along. I really respect the company. And I spent some time at IS, about a year and a half, doing PR and communications and some digital work for them. But yeah, I found myself missing journalism. You know, there's something to be said for writing in the IT industry in South Africa. I think we're in a very special place, and we've got a lot to look forward to. And this was the year that I decided to venture back into my true passion.
Great stuff. Well, welcome to Tech Central, and I think, yeah, you're right. There's so much going on in this industry and so much to cover. It's pretty exciting time to be a tech journalist.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, can't wait to get my teeth sunk into some stories.
Well, Rechard, thanks. I think let's get into it then. This is Talk Central episode 96 for the weekend starting Friday 2 May 2014.
And Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter, at Tech Central.
On Google Plus, at Plus Tech Central.
And on Facebook, at Tech Central ZA.
In the show this week, we talk about the snowballing price war in South Africa's mobile sector, the launch of Gareth Cliff's new online radio venture, and the licensing of five new pay TV operators by ICASA.
We also pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
We'll begin the show right after this message.
Okay, I'm in. Just watch out for security.
Don't worry about him, but let's drop this joint.
Avoid the hassles and costs of on-site guarding and keep an eye on your business premises with Guardian Eye remote monitoring from Vox Telecom. We'll monitor your premises 24/7, utilizing your existing data link to keep costs down. You can remotely view and control access points from your smartphone or tablet. Guardian Eye from Vox Telecom, the visionary remote monitoring system for businesses. SMS your name to 31965 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm Duncan McLeod here with Rechard van der Berg. How's it, Rechard? Lots to talk about, so let's get straight into it. This mobile price war is getting really fascinating at the moment, isn't it? We've had MTN cut its rates to 79 cents, and now Vodacom has reacted too.
Yeah, it seems like South Africa really is at that point when we are going to see a real shake-up in the market. It's real movement happening now, and the operators are certainly making big movements in that space.
It's an interesting time indeed, and I think that we could see some fallout from these latest developments, particularly around Cell C, because I think they're under a bit of pressure given what's going on now. Ironically, because they're the guys who really started the whole price war a couple of years ago now. Let's look at it. MTN, I think it was about three or four weeks now, I forget the exact date, announced that they were going to cut their rates from R1.20 per minute on prepaid down to 79 cents on per second billing. and announced at the time that they intended to make the rate permanent. It was introduced as a promotional rate, which means it hadn't been filed, lodged as a tariff with ICASA, which meant that they could withdraw it at any time they wanted to. Whereas if it's a filed or lodged application with ICASA, they have to, if they want to increase the rate again, then seek the permission of the regulator to do so. So when they do file rates with the regulator, it's a very important development and kind of sets a new base in the industry. And MTN, I think to everyone's surprise, within a few days of announcing the new 79-cent rate, filed for a permanent rate of 79 cents. And I think that's really dropped a bomb on the industry. Until now, Cell C, well, if you exclude Telkom Mobile, which really doesn't have many users, Cell C really had the base rate at 99 cents a minute. The MTN and Vodacom would argue that with their dynamic tariffing zone products, for example, from MTN, that their rates were effectively lower. But it was difficult as consumers to know exactly what the rate was and what you were paying at any given time. And we used to joke on the show that you might get a good rate if you happen to be standing 3 kilometers from the base station upwind with with a jet flying overhead or something. You really couldn't tell what the rate was. But really interesting moves here. And Vodacom this week has retaliated. Must be said with a promotional rate only. They haven't said whether they intend to make the rate permanent. But they've cut their prices to 79 cents until mid-July. Clearly a reaction to MTN. There's no doubt that this price war is gaining ground. But the big worry is what this means for Cell C.
Yeah, look, I mean, unfortunately, I think there's going to be some losers in the aspect of companies might be closing down as a result of it. I think there were a lot of...
Well, we've already seen Nashua Mobile closing its doors. They've decided that they can't make enough profit. The mobile operators were putting the squeeze on them. The mobile operators for years have been saying that they're going to have to reduce the costs in their channels as termination rates, the inter-network call rates come down, as ICASA forces those rates down. And indeed, that pressure has caused Nashua Mobile to simply say, well, we can't continue, we're not sustainable at these sort of levels that the operators are offering us, and we're going to sell our subscriber base back to them, which is exactly what they're doing. Cell C is obviously in a bit of a different position, but they're in a tight spot. They started this price war back in, I think it was 2012, when Alan Knott Craig famously came out and declared that the industry needs to change the way it works, and he's damn well going to lead the change. But I do wonder if Cell C has now gotten itself into a bit of a spot of bother. They've been lobbying hard for the termination rate to come down and for there to be asymmetry in that rate so that they benefit over MTN and Vodacom. The High Court, of course, our listeners to the show will remember about a month ago now, found that ICASA's regulations on this issue were unlawful and invalid, but decided to implement them anyway. So they're in force for the next 6 months until the end of September, until ICASA has come up with new rates. And certainly MTN, I think people were taken a bit by surprise that MTN was leading this price war. I think everyone kind of expected, well, okay, Cell C, sure, they've got a massive mountain of debt sitting on their balance sheet, but maybe they're in a position now, as the smaller player, to again cut prices, perhaps down to 79 cents from the 99 cents they have been charging, especially since they're enjoying this asymmetry from the bigger operators of 44 cents a minute versus the 20 cents they pay in the other direction. But no, it wasn't Cell C that did the cutting. It was MTN that surprised us all and cut to 79 cents.
Yeah, I certainly think they took a good opportunity that they saw what was happening in the market. And it does come down to marketing in many ways. You know, you need to be out there seeing that you are doing something, you know, especially if you want to take on the competition in light of the rate cuts. But how long, Duncan, do you think Cell C can keep up this fight?
It's difficult to know. They don't publish their numbers aren't public, so we don't have insight into just how serious their situation is. But I think this move by MTN was not only because of the fact that they've been losing market share, which they have, to Cell C and possibly some market share to Vodacom as well. But I think that that possibly the bigger reason, and certainly the tactical reason that MTN may have done this, is to really stick it to Cell C. They'll have insight, more insight than you and I have, into Cell C's financial position. Sure. They talk to the analysts who look at Cell C and look at all the players in this market. And you know, as one analyst remarked a week or two ago, Cell C has a huge debt covenant coming due next year, 1.6, 1.7 billion rand. To what extent is their biggest shareholder, Ogier Telecom, from the Middle East, prepared to recapitalize the business? They've injected equity on a number of occasions. I think last year that was the most recent time they injected fresh equity into Cell C. At some point, the patience must wear thin. At some point, they're going to say, well, you know, do we really want to be in this market anymore? At which point, they'll then make a decision. Do we sell the business? And then it becomes a question of, well, who's going to buy Cell C?
And then the market outlook from there, I mean, if we then get back to a point where we only have the big operators, what would the future look like then?
Well, I don't think Cell C is going to disappear. I think that's unlikely. It's possible, I suppose, that they'll default on their debt and go into bankruptcy protection. I don't think that'll happen though. I think big international operators are quite keen on this market. I wouldn't be surprised if Bharti Airtel made a move, possibly. They've had discussions with MTN before. And I certainly wouldn't be surprised if Orange came sniffing around. Orange has very clearly been interested in this market for some time. They've been talking about the idea of setting up a mobile virtual network operator here, although they say the regulations aren't in place that would allow them to do that. Perhaps they'd be interested. I mean, this is all speculation at this stage, I think it is telling that Cell C, at least to date, has not reacted to this move by MTN and now this move by Vodacom to cut their rates. May happen this weekend. The mobile operators have a tendency to use the Sunday newspapers to launch their new campaign. So who knows? I think we're going to see a big splash from both Vodacom and MTN around their 79 cents in the Sunday papers this week. And we may see something from Cell C. But it's interesting times, difficult times for Cell C, and I feel for them. They're in a tough spot. And I think they may come to rue this price war that they started back in 2012 with the bigger guys. Yeah, it's a tough environment. I think there's lots still to see here. We could even see a competition commission complaint at some point with and I'm speculating here, but we could see a complaint against MTN and Vodacom suggesting that they're trying to hound their smaller rival out of the market. Interesting times ahead in this mobile space. But certainly it's good news, at least in the short term, for consumers.
I certainly look forward to seeing how this is going to play out. And yeah, let's see where it goes.
Absolutely. So a completely different subject altogether. I know you listened to the launch this week. I had a listen. I unfortunately wasn't up that early in the morning, but I had a listen to the podcast a little later. But Gareth Cliff took the plunge this month, quit his very high-profile platform on 5FM, the breakfast show we hosted there, and jumped on the online radio bandwagon. I have a feeling he's done it a bit too early, though. What's your thought on it, Gareth?
Yeah, potentially, but I think you can always argue that there's no, you kind of need to get something out when you feel it's good and ready. And also you can say that Gareth Cliff has become his own platform in many ways.
So yeah, true.
Anything he does from here on in will have a big bunch of followers, a big number of followers, and maybe that was worth taking a gamble on. It's certainly not a bad part. I was also listening to the podcast. It's interesting. I'm still a bit concerned with the fact that I didn't hear any music. I mean, morning radio music, it kind of works.
I think they said that they're actually not planning to have any music at all. That the value of Gareth Cliff's show on 5FM was never the music, but the interaction between him and his colleagues. I'm not convinced by that. I think 5FM has always been seen as a music station, not a talk station. Of course, Gareth Cliff did. He spent a year or two, if I recall correctly, on 702 hosting the breakfast show. They bumped. Who hosts the breakfast show on 702? John Robbie. They bumped John Robbie off for a year and put Gareth Cliff in there, and that didn't seem to work out that well. Yeah, different audience, though, I think.
Yeah, it's a different audience, but that's why I said, considering potentially Gareth Cliff's audience, music does play a big part of it. And while he does have riveting conversation, and it's great to listen to him. 2 hours of that, 3 hours of that, non-stop in a morning commute. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to move away from that, and that's why I look forward to seeing where this will go. But I do think though the positive spin on this is the fact that you can listen to your show anytime. The fact that it's on an online platform might be a bit early, considering data packages and what his audience would have to pay to listen to him.
Exactly. I'm specifically thinking of people listening in their cars there, and this is a breakfast show he's doing on Cliff Central, at least right now. So the audience that he's going to be wanting to attract are people who are driving. Are South Africans ready to stream internet radio into their cars over their cell phones? I have a feeling he might be here a bit early. Aren't prices a bit too high? Aren't people a bit price sensitive about using data still?
Yeah, it could be. Look, I think it's time to do some calculations, see what it will cost if you listen to him every day, if, you know, on your normal commute. It could work into a fair bit of change. I do believe that they are in talks with someone or some entity to see if they can, you know, come to some solution with the data rate thing. Perhaps a zero rate, I don't know, probably not. But it'll be interesting to see what he can do to innovate the space, seeing that he would have a good reason to try and make some movements in that space. To me, what's also of appeal to the whole Gareth Cliff move is potentially the video side of it. I've long been a fan of online video, especially with shows, technology shows, consumer shows. And if he can get that right, that would be a good move away from radio while still maintaining that platform to a degree. But the cost, unfortunately, that will always still be a concern. You know, how much does it cost to listen to him on a regular basis? But having said that, again, people probably download the shows on Wi-Fi in the morning, you know, but then you can listen to an old show perhaps.
But I just wonder, I mean, people, you know, I think it's an ease of access thing. You know, even if you solve the cost of data worry, if you're in your car, do you want to fiddle with your phone, connect Bluetooth to your car radio? Not all car radios can do that. Or you're just going to switch the radio on and listen to 702 or listen to 5.
Yeah,
which is the much easier option. You just press a button, boom, and the radio's on.
I totally agree. But then again, having said that, he's got a very interesting audience. And Gareth Cliff, he might be appealing to a group of people that maybe 20 years younger than us.
You know,
and I think within that, if you're ever going to make a change to try and do something new, you know, you'll always have the other side of the conversation, which is, you know, it's probably not such a good idea.
Yeah.
But I think the innovation plays a big role here.
For sure, and as you say, he brings a hell of a name with him. You know, he's got 670,000 followers on Twitter. He's a household name in South Africa. If anyone's going to get online radio right, it's him.
It's going to do it.
I think it's great because you know, I think online radio. I mean, I personally listen to a lot of online radio. Even when I'm listening to regular radio, I'm listening to it online. I listen to 702 in the morning, for example, and I listen to it on my phone via the TuneIn app. So yeah, and I think more and more South Africans are doing that, particularly South Africans who are connected to uncapped ADSL at home, where it becomes a no-brainer to do this stuff. I think more and more South Africans are getting used to, I mean, I, for example, had to jump through a few hoops, of course, but I regularly watch Netflix. I watch Netflix more than I do DSTV now.
On demand, and maybe that's where he's going. On demand radio, on demand, you know, anything online really these days is very popular. Listen to something when you want to, how you want to.
And of course, the NASPAT tie-up is also interesting. They're doing this not only through the Cliff Central website, but also through the WeChat application, which is, of course, aligned with NASPAT. NASPAT owns around a one-third stake in Tencent, the big Chinese internet company that develops WeChat. And they've been pushing WeChat hard in South Africa in the last couple of months. You see the branding everywhere. They're really trying to create it as the dominant instant messaging platform. I think it's still has some way to go next to WhatsApp.
It certainly was interesting that he launched his station through that, particularly looking at the functionality, the interactive side of it. I think it's more than just radio, and that's why it's the whole unradio spin of it. It's open. I mean, you can really do anything with this platform now. And perhaps it's a big experiment.
Yeah.
You know, see where it goes, see how it works. I'm sure he's got the financial backing behind him to be able to push a few boundaries.
For sure.
So I look forward to seeing what else he can do within the platform. But it'll be interesting to see how this changes the dynamic of people listening to online radio or online video.
For sure, for sure. Anyway, we're keeping a close eye on that. If you've got any thoughts on what Gareth Cliff is doing, we'd love to hear them. Send us a mail at info@techcentral.co.za. Last news item I think we should cover this week, Richard, is the licensing of new pay TV operators in South Africa.
This was an interesting story that came out as well.
Indeed. So about 5 years ago, ICASA went through a similar process where they licensed also, interestingly enough, 5 new pay TV operators. Only one of those ever actually launched, and that was Top TV, which has now recently been renamed as Starsat. The rest of them just simply didn't get off the ground. One has to wonder whether this set of broadcasters will be more successful than the last. I think what's interesting here is that the new guys are going after, I think, a different market than what they were looking at 5 years ago. They're definitely going after the lower LSMs. One of them is pitched as a soccer-based platform. They're also going after, they're also looking at digital terrestrial television rather than satellite as their delivery vehicle, which may reduce the cost to entry. If South Africa ever gets on with the process of migrating to digital, and Tech Central's been covering this ad nauseum for years, the issue of encryption in the set-top boxes, which still has to be resolved, and looks like won't be resolved until at least after the election. But it may be a better platform for new competition to come into the market. Five new players, some interesting ones. There's a company called Close TV. They're going to appeal to the, or they're going to offering promising channels that appeal to the gay and lesbian community. As someone joked on Twitter the other day, that means they're going to be running fashion TV and BBC Food. There's Siaya, which is the soccer focused channel. One or two others. Kahisa Media, which I think is probably the standout one here. They're planning to launch a Kahisa TV, a platform costing less than 240 rand a month, offering a range of entertainment and other channels. Of course, Kahisa Media is a big media company. Mm-hmm. They own Jacaranda FM, East Coast Radio. They own the How's It MSN portal and a range of other media products. So interesting times. I wish them luck. Their licenses aren't permanent yet. They still have to fulfill a number of conditions that ICASA has required of them, including for some of them really making it clear what their business case is. But we'll keep an eye on that. But interesting times. I think it's time that this market got opened up to more competition in the television industry, which has really been dominated for far too long by one player in the form of MultiChoice.
I really hope this opens up more great content. That's one thing we've really been lacking. It's fortunately the internet's giving us a lot of that, but in television terms, good content to the home, that's not expensive. We're talking about education, we're talking about great multimedia content, movies. I hope to see more of that.
For sure. Anyway, I think that takes care of the news this week, Rachat. I think let's move on to our next feature, which is winner and loser of the week. I think our winner this week, I know it's haven't been an easy one to pick, but I think it has to be consumers given this price war that's going on at the moment in the mobile industry. Price of mobile calls is sitting now at less than a third of what it was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So consumers definitely the winner of the lower termination rates and the greater competition in the mobile sector. And I think related to that, our loser of the week has to be Cell C, which hasn't joined the price pool yet, and we have to wonder why.
Definitely.
Cool. Before we wrap up the show, we'll do our pick our app of the week. Rechot, so you've got something interesting this week. What have you chosen?
Yeah, we've spoken about Netflix just now. I've long been a big fan of a software application called StrongVPN. For those of you that don't know, VPN is basically a service that allows you to browse the internet anonymously or to mask your IP address so that you can use the internet as a user in another country. They recently launched a mobile application which allows you to do the same with your iPhone, Android or iPad, which I find great, particularly in light of the fact that you can use now Netflix quite easily on your iPad without changing any router settings. So essentially install the app, run it, and then you can use the internet as any person in any country, which I think is great.
Sounds brilliant. How much does it cost?
There's a range of packages. Yeah. So the one that I'm on is the most basic one. It's $7 a month.
That's quite expensive.
It's quite expensive, but you're getting a quality premium service. I've never had speed issues. If you want concurrent connections, you have to go for another package, so you can have two people on the same VPN connection at least, or the same concurrent connection.
Right.
But it really has made a big difference in me being able to use something like Netflix from my iPad, simply because I don't have to modify my router, like I said.
Right.
You just enable it on your device, and then you run any other application that might be region locked.
That sounds great. Does it work on PC and Mac as well, or is it?
Yes, there is PC and Mac software, obviously for desktop available. It does the same thing. You run the application, and without changing any settings, it'll enable the VPN feature for you. You can also change location. Sorry, that's another thing I wanted to add.
Oh, right.
So you not only go to New York or Los Angeles or Atlanta or any of these places, but you can change it to London if you want to use any of the BBC services.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is great, yeah.
That's fantastic. I've been using a product called Media Hint, which is a plugin for Firefox and Chrome. I use it on my internet-connected PC on my TV, and I use it to watch Netflix, and I can access Hulu that I do, Spotify, other services. And that has been free until recently. Unfortunately, they've started charging $3.95 a month for it, which I thought was reasonable, so I've signed up for that. It's also, you could either pay that or $39.95 for a full year's access, effectively getting 2 months free. And it works really well. No problems at all accessing any of the services. BBC iPlayer services work as well.
So this is a service that not necessarily region, doesn't point you to a region, or do you still have to choose
I'm not sure how it works, actually. It doesn't really provide you much detail. There's a short FAQ on the mediahint.com website, but it just seems to unlock everything. Nice. Just run it, enable it. I wouldn't do my... because it's a browser plugin, I'd probably be a little bit reluctant to do my banking using that particular browser. So choose a plugin to run on, perhaps if you want to install it on Chrome. And then not that I do my internet banking on my TV anyway, but if I were to, I'd probably fire up Internet Explorer or some other browser to do that.
Do you have any particular, as a matter of interest, do you have any particular security concerns around that, or is it just the fact that the plugin is unknown to you?
It's the plugin. I worry that because it's going through a VPN service, it's going through their, my data is going through their services, their servers. That I worry they might be sniffing it.
So I'd
prefer not to. So I use it for my Netflix.
Multimedia view.
I box it out into Chrome, and if I need to do anything else on that box, I actually use Firefox. And it works well. It's brilliant.
It's nice to see how easy it's got these days.
It used to be really, really, really difficult. You had to hack code and fiddle with your router and do all sorts of stuff to get it to work. But it's really just as easy as paying someone and installing a plugin now, which is fantastic.
And one last thing on that, I would like to say that paying for a premium service definitely makes the biggest difference. I've tried a few out there, and you might have to pay a little bit more, but the quality of the service that you get does speak volumes.
For sure. Cool. Well, I think...
You also had a pick, Duncan.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I almost forgot about it. Thanks for reminding me. I actually want to pick a locally developed app. It's a book. Sorry, it's not a book. It's based on a book, as I understand it, by a journalist called Peter Del Mar. It's an app called The Platinum Road. It's available for Android and I think other platforms as well. It's an interesting, very quite niche, I think, application, but it really deals with the road between Gauteng, the N4, between Gauteng and Lobatse in Botswana. And as you're driving up that route, it'll give you information about what you're driving past and some of the things you can see, some of the history of the area. And it's read by David O'Sullivan, the radio announcer from 702, the news journalist from 702. And it's quite interesting. It's quite a niche app. But if you're on a long trip, taking the family on holiday up to Botswana, it's worth putting on the phone, and it helps... while away the hours as you're heading up that N4 platinum route.
Well, it almost sounds like it's going to narrate your road or your trip for you.
It does kind of, yeah. So it's worth checking out. It's called Platinum Road by Peter Del Mar, and it's available for Android and I think other platforms as well. So check it out in your relevant app store, and if you're heading out that way, give it a listen.
I will do.
Excellent. Well, Richard, I really enjoyed the first episode with you on the show. And as promised, we're going to be back regularly with the show from now on, so look out for it. And again, if you've got any feedback on what we could be doing better, what you'd like to hear on the show, do you want us to do this live rather than download it post-event as a podcast? Do you want us to do both? Should we be doing video? And what are your views on some of the features we have in the show? Do you want us to do something differently? Are there things you don't like, things you think we should drop from the show? Drop us a mail, info@techcentral.co.za. Or you can mail myself or Rechot directly, Duncan@techcentral or Rechot@techcentral. So until next time, thanks for listening to the show, and we'll see you then. Take care. Ciao.
Ciao.